Welcome to Relentless Pursuit. My name is Brace Belden, and my co-host here is Liz Franczak. We've been studying for the past 2 years, conducting interviews, talking to witnesses, and collating documents to prove one thing. Jeffrey Epstein was a bisexual woman with mental illness.
Wait, is that the name of the New York Times thing?
No, that's actually, I shouldn't have used that. That's just the name of the Bradley Edwards book. I feel bad because I've used a lot of that in my research. But
I thought it was the fake ISIS podcast.
Oh, incredible. So this woman just interviews some guy in Canada who's like, yeah, I was in ISIS.
And she's like, sounds good to me.
She's like, that's fucking crazy. Tell me all about it. He's like, absolutely. He tells her all about it. I haven't really looked into it that much because it's the New York Times. You kind of got to assume it's bullshit. But they did like a whole podcast series called Caliphate. And he's like the main witness. And then it turns out that he just made all of it up. Like he'd never been to Syria. He lived with his grandparents in Pakistan for a while. He's Canadian. And then he got arrested by Canada for lying.
The first clue should have been when she looked at him and he was a redhead.
Yes.
Like, I don't think you're allowed in ISIS.
I will say, if Canada, if it's, so I haven't looked into the law that much, but if it's possible to arrest someone for lying in Canada, then I would like to give some ex-girlfriends an all-expenses-paid trip to Montreal. I'm just kidding. I would never do that. That's too expensive.
Oh boy, here we are again.
My nose is a little stuffed up, Liz, so I'm going to sound more nasally than usual.
Oh my god. No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Look.
Hello. Hi, Brace.
Hi. Greetings, Liz. This has been a journey to get to this episode, hasn't it?
I kind of want to tell people what happened.
Tell them what happened.
Also,
don't forget
what happened. By Hillary Clinton.
Exactly. Well, let's be honest here. Let's tell them our arduous journey towards recording this episode right now.
Speak our truth.
Say it
from
the chest.
So we had a banger of an episode planned.
Big guest.
Huge.
Hanukkah guest.
Very big guest.
Can't give it away, but yeah.
Didn't work out.
Turns out Gmail, sometimes you're like, all right, so we do this remotely now, and we would have to do that remotely anyways, because this guy doesn't live near any of us. And so I email him the link, and I'm like, well, first of all, producer emails me the link, and I'm like, what the fuck is, I'm like texting him, like, what the fuck, where's the link?
Yeah, I'm like there's
10
no
minutes
link.
Late, like, you
there's
piece
no
of
link.
Shit. I called him a lot of names.
About? No put, link.
I put that behind me. We're all forgiven
zero
here.
Links.
Anyways, I get the link. I send it to our guest, who is a famously can be ornery. Famously old person too. So it's still difficult doing that in the first place. He does not get the link, and I send
no
him. We're sitting here in the fucking recording session, like, where the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
I send him the link again, and he's like, I'm not getting the emails. I'm turning my computer off, and I die inside, shriveled.
I
wither. Then we come up with another episode.
Well, yeah, we're on a little bit of a time crunch, mm-hmm. and due to some personal things that are none of your fucking business.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, okay, we got to come up with an episode by tomorrow,
yes.
which was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We record the episode.
Hour and a half.
I wake up in the morning and I text the boys and I say, I don't like it.
Episode sucked.
It was terrible.
Bad episode.
I made a good joke
during one part, but
I
rest
think
of
we
it
had
not
some
great.
Good bits.
We had some good bits, but the
we
meat of the
have
stuff.
Some good bits.
We didn't love it.
No,
I didn't like
it. Wasn't
it
wasn't us.
And so, despite having spent like 12 hours writing this episode. Well, not 12. I'll be honest. More like 5 hours writing this episode. And then an hour and a half recording this episode. We thought, this fucking thing stinks. We're throwing it out.
Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
This is our commitment to gold standard. When you come to Trunon, you can always expect not just the grand crew, not just the premier crew, grand premier crew.
Grand
you got
premier.
The best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving you the best of the best. We're never going to give you bad stuff.
We've done this before. There are lost episodes of Trunon that we will never even release as part of a lost episode thing. Well, no, they're not good. They don't want to hear them. But yeah, it's so telling you now, we got one today for you though.
Well, here's the thing. Let me finish the story. So I send that text and we're like, what the hell are we going to do? What do we do? Boom. Gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because
PBUH
siren alert. Wee, wee, wee. Jean-Luc Brunel arrested.
Thank God. The French, for the first time in their history as a nation, not even talking about the Fifth Republic, I'm talking about Fourth, Third, Second, First, Pre-Republic France, monarchical France. The first time in their history they have arrested a pedophile.
Okay, wait, so before we get into it.
Let's do the intro. We've got to introduce ourselves.
Hello, everyone. I'm Liz.
My name is Brace. We are joined by producer Young Chomsky, full name Morton Goldstandard.
This is Trunon. Hello, welcome.
Hello.
Okay, so I gave it away. Jean-Luc Brunel arrested.
In the clink, in the French Le clink. Prison. Le clink. Yeah, he's down. He has been arrested. Now let's start off with the actual arrest here. He was arrested at Charles de Gaulle Airport. Right outside of Paris, I guess. I don't know. I feel like as a girl, you probably know where Charles de Gaulle Airport is. Is it in Paris? Is it outside of Paris?
It's like the main Paris airport. Yeah, it's like right outside of Paris.
Yeah, okay. So
great bathrooms. Ladies, you'll know what I'm talking about. Oh, perfect for wow. They're very famous. They're very like 70s looking. They've got purple. Gotcha.
Douching. The French
no,
word.
No. Just like the vibe. They're very beautiful. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. How come they taught us about douching when I was in sex ed class in middle school? And then for the rest of my life, people are like, don't douche. It's bad for you. Why would they even teach us about it?
Well, wait. They taught you to do it?
No, they just taught us about it.
I feel like they always taught us about it to not do it.
Oh, well, I wasn't really paying attention. I was just like, damn, that's a crazy ass word. I'm going to use that at the end. A lot of people don't know. I first gained prominence for inventing the word douche nozzle on a Reddit post about 2004. Okay, so Brunel gets arrested at Charles de Gaulle Airport. He was on a flight to Senegal.
Yeah, that gave me pause.
Yeah, so he was apparently, I actually did not have enough time to research if Senegal, for some reason, does not have an extradition treaty or something. I mean, France famously will not extradite people to other countries. But yeah, he is in the clink. He got arrested taken in, essentially, by the Central Office for the Repression of Violence Against Persons, which is a mouthful, but it's the OCRVP. And the actual charges are, as far as I understand them, counts of rape and sexual assault, rape and sexual assault on a minor under 15, rape and sexual assault on a minor over 15, sexual harassment, criminal associations, and human trafficking to the detriment of minor victims for the purposes of sexual exploitation.
Okay, wait, two questions. Mm-hmm. Just right off the bat. One, what is a minor over 15?
So in my research in the Macron episode to see if his wife was legally a pedophile, there is like a difference between sexual crimes of minors under 15 and minors over 15. So the sort of general thought is that Brigitte Macron is not a pedophile because she met Macron when he was 15. But there are reports that she met him when he was 14. So she's essentially the same as Jean-Luc Brunel.
Mm. Wait, but I'm saying like legal, like technically, what is a minor? Like 16?
I guess it would be 16 to 18. Yeah. French law, I'm not surprised
to see.
Minors
in France, I don't know. I always thought they were like fetal, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, like children in France. Yeah, they look sickly and stuff. Yeah, it's no, smoking.
Like that, like, you know, the age of consent, like the like what makes a minor would be like the lowest possible age.
Yeah, it's 8.
Yeah, months.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's he got taken in and it's there's been an investigation open on him since actually August of last year. He's been underground hiding. So actually, before we really get into that investigation, let's actually go over who Brunel really is, because we've talked about him a lot on the podcast, but we've done a sort of dive on him very early on in our recording. But there's been more information that's come to light, and I think it's good to kind of go over what exactly his relationship to Epstein was and what's going on with him.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the last time we covered Brunel was like a really long time ago. And we probably have a lot more listeners since then who haven't gone through it. But so in case you, so if you have gone through it and you already know, sorry, got to sit through it. Refresher course. Mm-hmm. But for new listeners, Jean-Luc Brunel is basically like a high-flying, raping model scout, best friend, acquaintance, associate of one Jeffrey Epstein.
Imagine you worked as like a potato farmer, right? And then like it's potato farming where you live is a fairly small-knit community. And one of the most famous potato farmers had been accused of rape for 40 years. And he, for some reason, was still a prominent potato farmer. That's essentially what happened with the modeling world and Jean-Luc Brunel.
Why'd you go with potato farmer?
I'll tell you what, I don't know. I don't really have much control over what comes out of this.
Okay. No, to drive that point home, Mike, you know, Jean-Luc Brunel basically has been a known rapist for literally 40 years. Like, known, yes. Like, not just like everyone talks about it, like how they talk about Epstein or Trump or Clinton. Like, no, like 60 Minutes literally did like a 2-hour report on him.
Yes. Being a and rapist. There's been a BBC in the 80s. Report too.
In
yes.
the 80s. In our listeners weren't even born.
Yeah. I'm going to play a clip right here from that report.
It's a meat market. You are there for the purpose of somebody wanting to take you home to bed. He is acting as a matchmaker. He's got the agency. He's got the girls. His friends say, oh, Jean-Luc, I'd like to have, you know, I'd like to meet some girls, or we're having a party tonight. Can you bring some girls?
And what happens if you say no?
You don't work.
You've actually known, be very careful on this, you actually have known that he has made someone pay a professional penalty for saying no.
I know, I paid a penalty for saying no. I was personally proposed to by himself, Jean-Luc, and I said, no way. I laughed in his face, and I had no more appointments, and I never worked.
But no, so this guy got his start as a model scout for Karen Models, which he's
Karen with
very,
an I.
Yes, which really gives him the creep. Sounds Russian. Within a few years, he becomes the head of the agency. This is in Paris. And he starts, I believe, from what I understand, this is very, very, very common in the modeling world to the point where it's basically just what happens. But he would take as much as 3/4 of the girls' salaries. And he would also, and remind you, a lot of these girls are foreigners who come to Paris to work. He would also take taxes and Social Security out of their checks, even though they weren't paying those in the first place.
Yeah, this is like a really, I mean, again, we covered this on the episode we did about modeling and Victoria's Secret, that this is like a very common relationship in the modeling industry between agents and scouts and models, where the models are basically like indentured servants to to these guys and these agencies.
Well, that's the thing, is something that Brunel would do is he was famous for basically getting these models to come over, and then he would take them to parties with, like, you know, 10 or 15 men, and he would say that they had to have sex with those men or they would never work again. And this was like common knowledge. Everybody knew it, and everybody still used him. Do you know Eileen Ford, Liz?
No.
Well, she was the head of Ford Models.
Oh, okay, makes sense. Sure.
She was
I'm a
famous
post-Fordist model fan.
She would. She was famous for being very protective of her girls, and she would send them to France to work with Brunel. They would not get raped. Any other model that worked with him would be subject, essentially, to this. He'd also rent apartments to the girls and charge them, like, thousands of dollars in rent, even if it was, like, a friend's apartment. I mean, he was ripping them off. So he's also very famous for drugging and raping models too.
That was his signature move.
Exactly, like putting something in their drink and then taking them back. I mean, there's horrible in that we'll link to it, but the 60 Minutes piece about him, well, about him and other modeling heads, is so fucked up because it's like it shows him just dance. He's this little creepy little man just like dancing like a maniac at this club with all these tall, beautiful women.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, he was like literally banned from like several agencies.
Yeah. And I mean, as a reminder, most of these agencies basically do the same stuff that he does, but just on a different scale. And so he must have been doing it really bad. So he's actually famous for discovering a bunch of models too, many of whose names I don't really know. I know who Mila Jovovich is.
Yeah, Mila Jovovich.
It's the girl from The Fifth Element?
Yeah.
Yeah, not my type. Who's Christy Turlington?
Are you serious?
Absolute dead serious. Explain to me who Christy Turlington is.
She's like one of the top 10 most famous models in history?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know. Wouldn't it be weird if I did know who she was?
No, it would. It's really weird that you don't.
Oh, well, I do. I was just seeing if you did.
Mm.
And apparently other ones called Ginta Lapina and Juana Berga.
Yeah, that's not surprising you wouldn't know them.
Yeah, I don't know who they are, that's but they're
like
famous
for models. More like modelizers like myself.
Modelizers?
Yeah.
I'm definitely not a modelizer.
No,
I did baby. Just get a nice, I did just get a model boat for myself, but I'm putting it together. Anyways, so he was famous for discovering these girls. But again, like Liz said, this guy just keeps getting canceled via very prominent international media outlets.
This is the most canceled man in all of Europe.
But it just doesn't work. Like,
yeah, like most cancellations.
Yes. Like his in 88, the 60 Minutes report comes out and he gets in some trouble, but like he still just keeps doing the same job he does. 1999, 11 years later, a BBC investigation comes out that's like, this man is a serial rapist. There's a huge crisis management meeting in the Caribbean with a bunch of people from a bunch of agencies, including Karen Models, and he shows up with a teenage girl on hand.
Yeah. I mean, just doesn't give a fuck.
He is a real YOLO type man. But he founds Karen Models of America in 1995.
Yeah. I mean, we should say that, like, you know, the way that he would work is similar to, I mean, I, you know, it's just not, I hate saying this, but like, it doesn't seem like his behavior and the way that he worked is at all exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to what was exceptional about him, which was some of his friendships and acquaintances. But, you know, he would basically, you know, this is what model scouts do. They go up to young girls, mostly like 14, 15. So 13, 14, 15. 15 being the oldest. And promise them a career in modeling. And then basically, you know, he becomes like a pimp to them.
Yeah, like, it's sort of astounding. I mean, and you read this I have a book about this kind of stuff. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called, like, Dirty Business of Modeling or something. It talks about Brunel in it. It's actually under my bed. I have a bunch of books that I read going to sleep, and then I throw them under my bed, and then I can't find them again, and I just have to start reading different books.
This was one of them.
Yeah, fantastic system. But I mean, this book really describes in depth, like, there is a fine, and by fine, I mean basically no line between modeling agent, model scout, head of a modeling agency and a pimp.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's an astounding business, and like it's one of probably the most abusive businesses that that there is, really. I mean, it ranks up there. He especially his thing was that he'd bring American girls to Paris and pimp them out. That was kind of his specialty. And of course, girls from other European countries. There's a very famous case of a woman named Thysia Huysman. I can't pronounce it. Anyway, she's a Dutch model. She said he drugged and raped her in 1991, and she's been a very prominent voice sort of after the whole Epstein thing came out and their articles started appearing about Brunel.
Yeah, yeah. She was just quoted as being, like, I think she used the word elated and, like, couldn't believe that he had finally been arrested by French police. Well, yeah, but he also, I mean, his big thing, too, and this maybe gets into his relationship with Epstein, is that, I mean, his big thing was actually going to third world countries and finding young girls. And, you know, he's been credited or, I don't know if credited is the right word, but basically it's been said that he's the one who's secured, you know, passports, State Department documents, visas, as we'll get into, for a lot of the young women that were living or, let's say, working for Jeffrey Epstein.
So there's actually a deposition given by his bookkeeper, Martiza Vasquez. It's a very difficult to find deposition now. Like I had it at the very beginning. We actually did an episode with some stuff from this during our sort of, I think, first like 10 episodes. It's really hard to find now. It's like not in any of the document dumps. And it took me like an hour to find it. Finally, someone had to send it to me. But this is a really revealing part about how they got the visas and exactly what they were doing. So this is, I believe, an FBI agent questioning Martiza Vasquez, and he says, how did Nadia Marchinkova come into the country?
By a model's visa, I believe.
And she was brought in specifically by Jeffrey Epstein or Jean-Luc Brunel, or do you remember?
Mr. Epstein was paying for the visas, but you know, all the visas were done through Karen's or MC Squared. I believe she came with Karen's visa first, then everything transferred to MC Square. And I believe those visas were paid directly by Mr. Epstein.
Further on, they keep talking about Nadia Marchinkova, and she gives an answer to a question that is really, the answer is very striking and sort of shows how these guys operated.
I've heard of that girl, and I remember clearly that it was a problem with her visa. And that's why I remember there was a end of the year, and I was with Eve in New York, and she was, like, really upset because they were, like, mistreating her because of that. The fact that they were blaming her for the papers, doing it incorrectly. And then Eve told me, you know, that girl never worked. She was never a model. She was living in his place, but she disappeared. So she actually never even worked as a model.
So that is really indicative of what exactly was going on with Epstein and Brunel. And to be clear, like, that is not just Nadia. That's like a bunch of different girls that happened with.
Yeah, to back up a little bit. So they mentioned MC Square. For those of the people, again, that are new to this, Karen Models basically became MC Square. Mm-hmm. I believe it was in 2005.
Yeah.
And MC Square, can you, much like our friend Emmanuel Macron, Jeffrey Epstein was a big fan of acronyms.
So you know
his name.
So you know E equals MC Squared.
Like I don't.
It's like a magic thing. It's Kabbalah magic. Like it's from the Talmud. Well, it's different, but it is from the Talmud and the Kabbalah. It's also in the Kabbalah. Anyways, so MC Squared is like supposed to bring to mind E equals MC Squared, but the E is silent because Epstein was the silent partner. Yeah.
So stupid.
Well, I mean, so Epstein actually met Brunel through Ghislaine, and Ghislaine met Brunel. It's funny. Most American outlets are like, well, Epstein must have met him. It's sort of mysterious how they met. Epstein met him prior to 2004 or 2003, I guess. Although Brunel's first appearance on the flight logs, which we'll get into his flight log stuff in a second, but Brunel actually met Ghislaine, quote, through her father, and that is from a Bradley Edwards interview with Brunel himself in the 80s, and then She introduced Epstein to Brunel in the early 1990s, probably when she met Epstein.
Yeah, this was funny because except for in Bradley Edwards' book and then a couple French outlets that have been reporting this, this has not been in any kind of American that I know. That I mean, we've read a lot, I think every piece that's been written. But it's always been kind of inferred that Epstein and Brunel, for what little coverage there has been of him, by the way, by the American press, that they've only known each other for like since the 2000s or like late 90s. But this seems to suggest that no, it was much, 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 much earlier.
Well, the first appearance on the flight logs is actually in 2002 when they flew from Palm Beach to the Bahamas. And he was on the plane just a few flights ahead of William Jefferson Clinton's first flight. He also flew, I found this one very, very curious. He flew with President Pastrana of Colombia and Naomi Campbell. That is an interesting bunch.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Well, Naomi Campbell, who you might know from, I mean, obviously she's in my Wikipedia and past relationship stuff. Don't really want to get into that, but just Naomi Campbell actually herself is rumored to be a, well, let's say Brunel type figure.
I want to just give a little bit more of a picture for those who have not seen a photo of this man, Jean-Luc Brunel, because I could not stop laughing. We were looking at some of the French reporting on this, and it was just really funny. So a couple months ago, I think back in August, there was a bunch of new photos leaked, by the way, from the Mega Agency. Should be a red flag. Of him, of Jean-Luc Brunel and Ghislaine. And I think maybe some people have seen those photos. It's like them kind of laughing on the island. It's playing like maybe noogie. Like early 2000s. Yeah, they're like having fun in the sun, hanging out on the patio.
They're cuddling in one photo.
Yeah, fancy free. So it's just, I just really want to read some of the writing on this. So in some of the newly surfaced photos, Brunel appears to be boarding a plane on Epstein's Island dressed in yellow pants, a mustard-colored patterned shirt, and orange shoes. The flamboyant Frenchman is reportedly colorblind.
I will say, in all photographs I've seen of any of the people related to this, and all of these people, by the way, are in so tight with not only fashion companies, but fashion models, fashion, essentially. I have never seen a picture of anybody in the entire Epstein Nexus who is dressed not even well, but like a normal person.
Yeah, I mean, we've, you know, plenty has been spilled on Miss Maxwell's, you know, taste. But yes. I just love that they describe that. I mean, just what a little dig at the flamboyant Frenchman. I mean, they continue. He would often show up at an industry soiree with his models and celebrities looking like he was high on cocaine and wearing turquoise colored pants and a brightly colored pashmina shawl.
What the fuck? I never heard of that fabric.
You don't know what a pashmina is?
Liz, no. What is a pashmina?
It's like a soft, but very cheap, not at all cashmere, large scarf.
I just want to ask you this. Under what circumstances, prior to this recording session today, would I have found that out?
I don't know. If you were high on cocaine and wearing turquoise-colored pants, maybe.
I've been really high on cocaine before. I used to inject it into my hands at the flower shop. I've never worn a shawl of any type. Well, I guess in Sierra, I kind of wore like a keffiyeh. But listen, I'm not a shawl guy.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, tell them about the other picture, Liz.
Yeah. This is a good one because this was like too much. Other snapshots show him wearing a psychedelic looking blue, black, white, and yellow top. Okay.
I don't know if it's psychedelic looking.
With a dark baseball hat that says Israel Army. He can also be seen in banana yellow shorts and a plain light blue t-shirt.
I just,
you know, when you're colorblind, just go for it.
Just go for it.
You can always say, I don't know.
You know what? Israel Army, that reads through for any color.
Yeah. I like that it's not Israeli Army, by the way. It's Israel Army.
Yeah. It's... In fact, the last picture of him prior to him going underground, I mean, there's other pictures of him that emerged of him in Uruguay and stuff, but I believe this is the last, like, dated picture before he went underground, is him at something called the Paris Country Club for a $1,400 ticket event called White Night. And he is wearing an all-white costume that makes him look like I don't know how to describe it, but just frumpy. It's a frumpy costume. Again, wearing a shawl.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, and he's posing with two other people dressed in all white whose faces are blurred out. Funnily enough, though, the last picture of Ghislaine Maxwell to be taken in public, besides, of course, the famous In-N-Out photo, though we don't know when that was taken, she is at a party in, I believe, San Martin or San Marco, one of those fake countries that's in Italy that exists for gambling. And she is at a party where everyone is wearing all red.
Isn't it Monte Cristo?
No, that's the Count of Monte Cristo you're thinking of. God. That's a totally different case. No, and he didn't do it. That's the whole point of that. No, she's at a soiree for Paris Hilton, who, by the way, Paris, if you are listening, you do follow the True and On account on Twitter. If you are listening to this, I would love to talk to you.
Boyfriend, we'd love to have you on.
Was so rude to you in the documentary. I would never act like that.
Oh my God.
Much. Like, I would act like that a little bit, but only to get my way.
Okay.
Anyways, so this guy, he is god awful in the way he looks. He's like a little troll, but his whole thing was that, like Liz said, he had a lot of, let's say, foreign connections. In fact, MC2, after he and Brunel Brunel and Epstein get together, opens offices in Miami, New York, Paris, and Tel Aviv. We will be linking the Tel Aviv MC2 website in the show notes here because it is still around, even though the guy in charge, of, I think Sergio or something, has a broken ties with Brunel. Probably now. But according to Brunel's partner in MC2, this guy named Jeff Fuller, who, by the way, should also be in prison if he even knows Brunel, their client roster had everyone from Nordstrom's, Macy's, Saks, all of the Liz's places, I like to call them, Neiman Marcus, JCPenney, Target, which Liz loves, and Sears, which Liz actually purchased in a hostile takeover in 2017. So Brunel's relationship with Epstein seems to be, okay, he was basically, you know, he got $1 million. Epstein was funding his MC2 company, which, by the way, he was cooking the books on to make it look like it was profitable, even though it wasn't. It seems like Brunel really was, his role was just to get passports for young girls and to find them in third world countries and bring them over so that Jeffrey Epstein could sexually assault them. Suffice to say, he and Epstein were very close, and sort of second to Ghislaine, he is one of the most important people in the Epstein nexus. It's big news that he got arrested. I mean, Epstein at one point bragged to Virginia Jeffrey that he had slept with thousands of Brunel's girls. And an important point is that, okay, yes, there are a lot of American accusers, and of course now some French and European ones of Epstein and Brunel, but we haven't heard word one from a lot of the foreign girls that were imported for them. And there is a lot of firsthand testimony from multiple women that on the island, they would just be around with like 15 girls from like Eastern Europe and South America. And so we haven't really heard from any of them. And there's a lot of stuff in the testimony about girls in Brazil, about girls in Ecuador, which we're going to get into on another episode. But let me just say, Brunel was a huge human trafficker, like massive.
Yeah.
Anyways, back in August of 2019, of course, I mentioned French prosecutors open up an investigation into him. That, I think, came after the FBI sent them some information. Anyways, French law requires those investigators to hand over heavy crimes like rape and human trafficking to special magistrates, and the special magistrates can place suspects under official investigation, which is what happened. Anyways, he is, I mean, being arrested for all the crimes I mentioned earlier, apparently hiding out on his former drug dealer's boat. I learned this from our Parisian source. And later confirmed that he was actually, yes, living on a barge in France. And yes, probably belonging to, because like Liz mentioned earlier, Brunel is an insane cokehead. Like, he was on cocaine for decades.
Yeah. He does not look good.
Yes. I also found out from that Brunel's name on WhatsApp was Jean Look.
Look.
Yes. Also, apparently, he was writing a book exonerating himself. I've read that in multiple places.
I fucking love that all of Epstein's guys just can't stop themselves from writing If I Did It books.
Yes. And like, dude, there have literally been decades of like videotaped testimonies about how you're a serial rapist. And now it's going to be like, oh, it's... I mean, this is at the time, of course, when another big name in French modeling is, of course... We'll get into it in another episode, going under. And it's like, these guys, I don't think there's a lot of, I think they're just giving rope to hang themselves with.
We can only hope that Ghislaine writes a memoir.
Yeah.
So while we were investigating some of this Brunel stuff, we came across a new character that we need to share with the world, because this is someone who... at first blush, seems to be in the middle of a lot of moving parts in the extended Epstein universe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to read a bit from one of the Brunel stories to kind of set this up, and then we're going to get into it. So this is about Brunel, and this was such a fantastic detail that I did not know, which was that Brunel, when he was when he moved to New York, so this is after he met Ghislaine, he was living, by the way, in Trump Tower.
Yes.
Which is just incredible. So this is from a French piece. In New York, Brunel is quickly overtaken by his reputation. He is obsessed with girls. I never left him alone with the models. This is from a photographer. At the time, the Frenchman rented an apartment in the Trump Tower in Manhattan. According to the photographer, he meets in particular this Italian agent, Paolo Zimpoli,
mm-hmm.
but also Donald Trump, who wants to launch his own agency. It is Zimpoli who will introduce Melania to the future American president. So I was reading this and I was like, that's an interesting name. Let me look into this guy. Listeners.
Uh-huh.
This man is a cartoon character.
Insane.
He looks like if the Sopranos created a Gorka character.
Yeah. Oh, he absolutely is. Yeah. I did a bit of research on this guy about a year ago, and every single thing I read about him is just incredible. One thing I want to mention too is that in the testimony of Martisa Vasquez, she actually mentions that Epstein was like, I want the same sort of like deal with modeling scouts as Trump has.
Which, well, yeah.
I mean, these guys, anybody who works in modeling, I'm giving a big third eye open to.
Yeah. So let's just say that right before we started recording this, Bryce and I were looking over this stuff, just kind of texting each other back, dude, what? Oh my God, what's the deal? Kind of freaking out about this guy. I guess his claim to fame is that he says that he introduced Melania and Trump back in the 90s. And actually, so much so that when it was reported that Jeffrey Epstein actually had introduced them, a reporter reached out to him for comment and he wrote back, no. That's fake news. Like, he was very upset with the implication that it wasn't him that introduced them. But yeah, he was like a model scout, an Italian model scout.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he discovered Melania at like a Milanese, you know, scouting expedition. But this guy, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say. He was like the son of an Italian toy maker.
Mm.
And apparently he says like he didn't want to go into he thought that was like too small potatoes, being just a small, simple toy maker in Milan. And so he becomes a model scout?
Yes. Well, I mean, I think this guy, from his reputation and also from his Instagram, might have a problem with women. And not like a problem like he hates women. I think, well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at that. He's Italian. But I think he is a bit of a horn dog, to put
you
it
think?
Very, very, very gently.
Yeah. Well, not just that, but it, like I said, he seems to kind of be at the center of all these things. He really does have relationships with almost everyone we've talked about on this show.
He was the fucking Trump org director of international development, which, by the way, probably a fake job.
Yeah. So not only did he, that's the big thing. Not only did he introduce Melania and Trump, he ended up working for the Trump organization and was like helping him set up Trump models back in the 90s.
Yep.
He already knew Bill Clinton apparently before this, but reportedly at Trump's wedding, or this is according to, Zimpoli himself, at Trump's wedding at Mar-a-Lago to Melania, he was intro'd to Hillary by Huma.
Mm.
Good friend of the pod, Huma.
Friend of our silent partner, Anthony Weiner.
Yes. And he keeps boasting to the papers about what good friends he was with Doug Band and Ed Burkle.
Mm. Classic pair of guys who show up. Doug Band, I gotta say, what a fucking psycho.
Yeah.
It recently, I don't know if we mentioned this on the pod, but it recently came out that Doug Band did like a sort of tell-all interview, I think with Vanity Fair. I can't remember with who.
Yeah. It was Vanity Fair.
But Clinton's whole thing is that he never went to the island. Doug Band, his like one of his closest confidants, like his real, like his, the guy who he mentored, basically says in the interview, I mean, not basically, literally says in the interview, oh no, Bill Clinton went to the island without me. I was too creeped out by the island. And if Doug Band, who by the way, also might have fucked Ghislaine Maxwell, is in Naomi Campbell, is on the island. I mean, he's too skeeved out by it. My God, I can't imagine what was going on there.
Yeah, so nowadays he actually doesn't work for the Trump organization, although probably does, silently, as he's appeared at the White House many times and was at the inauguration party.
Yes.
His front first, and center.
His first photo on Instagram, by the way, is him and Benjamin Netanyahu, one of many.
Fantastic. But he's actually a United Nations ambassador to Dominica.
Mm.
Where of course he is not a citizen. This is a big thing. If people know anything about Dominica, is that it is a country where it's very popular to buy passports.
I mean, I think there's like less than 100,000 residents, right? Like actual.
Yeah,
Dominic.
It's quite small. Yeah. But a lot of people like buying. You can basically buy citizenship from the government.
Because they do that in the Mediterranean too.
Yeah. Because specifically with Dominica, what it does is it gives you, it has total visa free access to all of the European Union and like, I think almost all of South America.
Wait, does?
Yeah. So it's a pretty good deal if you've got like whatever it is, 50, 60, 70,000 to shell out.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big thing for a lot of these nations. Yeah. It's probably, from what I understand, because the guys who did the documentary about the Israel lobby also did one about economic passports in Cyprus. And I think they were like $300,000-$400,000 there. Although Cyprus seems like it would be a fancier one because it's technically European. But yeah, I mean, that's a huge thing. This guy seems to be all over the Caribbean. The Caribbean? How do you say it?
Caribbean.
Caribbean. How come it's the Pirates of the Caribbean?
I don't know, because it's some weird American thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, this guy, not only that, okay, let's talk about it. He partnered with Ghislaine on Terramar.
Yes, correct. Well, he just, Liz, he loves the ocean. You wouldn't understand, you're a land lover.
Other thing. I said brace this too, because I was freaking out. I was like, dude, you have to look at the website of his quote unquote ocean organization. First of all, what is with all these rich people and their ocean organizations? It's very weird.
Baby, I got to tell you, the website is doing it a little too much. I don't know.
I know. Justice, it's literally a web page. Emphasis on page.
There's no menu. Page. There's just a picture of a wave. And what does it say?
Well, it's wearetheoceans.org.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what it says.
No.
It says, Watto, the NATO of the oceans.
Yes.
Copyright 2017, Paolo Zampoli.
One word. I want to be clear about this. One word, a wave, one picture, no menu or anything like that, a wave crashing, and Watto, the NATO of the oceans in one word. It's not separated by other like spaces or anything like that. Just one word, Watto, the NATO of the oceans. This seems to be a common practice amongst this man and his Watto, sort of deal.
The NATO of the ocean. But we are the oceans. Watto.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The NATO of the oceans. We are it seems like that's kind of like what is it called? Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant, Sir, which means sexy, unique restaurant, but it's called Sir Restaurant. So it's sexy, unique restaurant.
Who's Lisa Vanderpump? Is that Vanderpump Rules?
God. Yeah.
Is that real?
Yeah. It's like she has three restaurants in West Hollywood. One in Beverly Hills.
Hold on. I thought Vanderpump Rules was like a sitcom. Vanderpumps are people?
Yeah, yeah. She is the matriarch of the family Vanderpump.
What?
Kind of out of the picture, except for the
Gigi.
No, I'm Gigi joking. Allen? I said that wrong on the podcast once before.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, it's her little dog.
Oh, wait. So this is a TV show about a woman and her dog?
No. It's really just about her and her businesses.
Oh, yep. Man.
So Vanderpump Rules is about all the people that work at Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants.
Mm. Gotcha.
And so it is kind of a sitcom, except it's not a sitcom, it's a reality show.
I did not know that at all. Thought it was like a sitcom, like otherwise.
But yeah, you can go to her restaurants. I've been to Pump.
The only restaurant I've been to in LA is the place with the moldy jam.
Oh, Squirrel?
Yes. I ate the jam. No, I'm kidding. I've never been there.
I've been there a lot, yeah.
I would never eat such mold. This guy is
you would eat the mold.
I would not eat the mold. I actually, no.
You wouldn't even know that you were eating the mold.
Baby, I actually am I am very grossed out by moldy food. Uncharacteristic.
You wouldn't know the mold was there. That was the whole thing. No one knew the mold was there.
I have mold sense. I could do it.
You're a mold person.
I work as like a secret shopper for the people who like go and check if restaurants are okay.
What, OSHA?
Yeah, OSHA, the health department. I'm a health department secret shopper. I'm like, hey, I see if a place has a bathroom that like you can kind of see the kitchen from. I'm like, hey, I have IBS, which means I'm disabled. Can I use your bathroom? And they're like, sir, is he really? And they're like, they look, he's Jewish. Yeah, he probably has IBS. I don't actually have IBS. And I go to the bathroom, and from the bathroom, I keep the door cracked, which I do when I use the bathroom anyways, no matter what. And I look out into the kitchen, and I'm like, are these guys? Yeah, there's mold in the jam. So I'm the guy who busted Squirrel from using their bathroom for 45 minutes while a large line formed, even though I had the door cracked.
You would eat the mold.
I wouldn't eat the mold. Let's move on. I will talk about this after.
I want to talk a little bit more about him. We do actually have to do an episode with him because just with some cursory research, within an hour, the bombshells I've found. This man, first of all, we'll talk to anyone about anything. There's a good chance that he will come on the podcast.
Which we're going to try to do, yes.
Also, he sounds like a cartoon Italian.
Unfortunately, yes. Well, watch your words here, because my friend Anthony listens to the show, and he's Italian.
I love Italians.
Women do love Italians.
I'm just saying, the accent is very charming. They're wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Also, I love Italy. It's
pizza
fantastic.
And the piazza.
Yeah, his accent is very heavy on the, you know, mm-hmm. Heavy on the accent.
We'll Not say. A looker.
He's got a big face.
Big face. He's got a Berlusconi type figure.
Well, he knows Berlusconi.
Of course he knows Berlusconi.
That's a big part of his story. One of his first big deals.
Can I tell you something weird real quick?
Mm.
So there was this like, when I was in Syria, there was like this like Antifa Tabor there. Tabor meets Platoon. And it was led by this like Italian guy. And I didn't join it because I had bad vibes. And I found out later, this was a rumor, but I'm assuming it's true, that the leader of it, who was an Italian guy, who I think I actually had been in the Battle of Kobani, he like renounced anarchism or whatever. And Sir Berlusconi sent him like $60,000 to buy weapons with. So I'm assuming Berlusconi has like a 6-person militia in Syria.
I think they all do.
Yeah. Berlusconi has a personal one, though. It's not like a deadly one.
That's pretty good.
I don't know if that's true. I want to be clear about that. But that was the rumor at the time. And you know me, it's a spiritual truth.
Yeah, it's all alleged. I will say this, too, about Cipolli. He's also, like, related to an ex-pope. And he was recently in the news because he hooked up the Vatican, literally the Vatican, the Holy See, with COVID tests when literally no one in the world could get COVID tests. Yeah, so I hope everyone's third eye is kind of pulsing.
The first thing I did when you sent me that is I Googled, or actually I duck-duck-goed, Zampoli, Paolo Zampoli, Knights of Malta, but I didn't get anything yet. I know there's going to be a connection.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, this guy talks to everyone.
I mean, he is basically a UN, like, I don't know how to stress enough. This guy has like 8 positions in the UN with various Caribbean islands.
Yes.
Like, he was the UN ambassador for tourism for Grenada, which, like, by the way, Grenada, whenever I think about it, I get very sad because I think there's a videotaped speech of Maurice Bishop in, I think, Harlem giving this really beautiful speech about the New Jewel movement. And it's fantastic movement, the invasion of Grenada, heartbreaking crime. Also, of course, so was the murder of Maurice Bishop. But so this guy is just all over the Caribbean being like their ambassador. I mean, you know how like there's
This guy's like, this is like a global crook.
Yeah.
And it's like a cartoon version of a global crook. I mean, all these guys are. It's so funny. Like when you see him next to Trump in these photos or with Epstein or Brunel, like these guys are just fucking goons.
Yeah. I will say, like, statistically, one of them should be handsome, right?
We haven't found the handsome one
yet. We haven't found the handsome one.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it's still out there.
He's our white whale of handsome serial rapist modeling agent. Does Naomi Campbell count?
No.
Yeah.
Because a lady, we're talking handsome. Yeah. She's handsome for a lady.
Yeah. She's tall, right? That's like...
She's beautiful.
Whenever people call women handsome, it's like they're tall. I feel like.
I think, yeah, and they got big hands.
Yeah, well, because that's like they're using handsome in the same way they describe a horse.
You seen the Seinfeld with the big hands lady?
Oh, yes, I have. Yes, I have.
I always think about that when I see women with big hands. I think, oof.
You see the Seinfeld where his wife dies?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, because I was like, damn, sometimes I'm like, that would be crazy if that happened to me, but about my podcast. I just think about that sometimes. No, but I think it's a tragedy.
You know what? If that happens to me as I'm licking the envelopes for all of the Christmas cards I'm sending out, that's going to be very sad.
Okay, we want to talk about Christmas. We want to talk about Christmas. Well, in my case, holiday cards. I hope you guys have your mailboxes open because you know how we did that episode on anthrax? Let me tell you, I got a great prank coming up.
Oh.
Wouldn't it be fucking funny if I sent you guys anthrax?
No. Okay. Dark winter, baby.
Dark winter. So we're going on a little break.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, cool. So some sounds like someone started already.
Ooh.
You know what's funny? I will say I have probably spent technically more time researching this episode in all its different iterations than I've spent researching any other episode.
Absolutely. Well, it's been like a week and a half.
A week and a half. Dude, I read 2 books.
I know. For the episode that never came.
I read, I don't think you, listen, I'm sitting there, you know what I could be doing? I have tickets to the Nutcracker. I have a menorah lighting ceremony at the Southern White House I could go to. I was supposed to dance in the Bolshoi Ballet, and instead, I'm reading fucking the non-Jewish Jew. I'm doing all these books, and I, you know what? It all comes to researching Italian sex criminals. Well, French too.
What we do for everyone.
I love it, though. It's the bread and butter.
Me too. I do, too. You know, I think this turned out okay in the end.
Yeah. You know, I think this is just like the whole year for everybody. This has been the greatest year of everybody's life. I mean, it's been a nonstop bonanza of joy, anti-sorrow, which is what I call a peculiar kind of happiness, and love for people. Mm. And this has been, I mean, this year, what happened? I mean, Bernie Sanders won the primary and then he won the election.
Him and Jeremy Corbyn have formed like a new international.
Uh-huh. My legal troubles are over. And the next ones also didn't start.
Yeah.
The coronavirus, which was invented in either, well, there's different opinions on where it was invented on this podcast.
Yeah, we're split.
Coronavirus did not get released because Jeff Bezos pressed a button.
Mm.
And everything's all good.
Or it was only released at the UN.
Exactly. Chaz is still around.
We're in the Chaz.
We're recording from Chaz right now. We're actually recording from the fifth Chaz. It's great. Liz was actually the ribbon cutter at New York's Chaz, which is the entirety of Staten Island.
Yeah. Cuomo, he's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cuomo's been arrested. Wait, didn't someone just accuse Cuomo of sex crimes, right?
Yeah, everyone, that went away real quick.
Real quick, yeah.
In a New York minute.
Didn't
tell
look
you
into
that.
It, believe it implicitly. Spiritual truth.
I mean, look at him, he's a pig.
Yeah, horrible looking man.
Remember talk that thing about a with big this? Face.
Oh my God, remember, he looks like he should be Gavin Newsom's uncle.
Yeah, he does.
By the way.
But like, maybe like Godfather.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does look very much like a criminal. I don't want to be like one of those guys who's like, you can tell a criminal by the shape of their face.
Oh, he's
and
a
stuff.
Criminal.
But I mean, with Cuomo, give me a break. Yeah. That guy's got criminal features.
I've always said the Baldwins of government.
Absolutely. And every Baldwin should be in prison too.
And in government.
Exactly. Yes. I will say, I want to say this on the podcast. I am declaring total war against both the governor of California and the mayor of San Francisco. I will not rest until you are in prison. Both of you.
Yeah, that'll be a good 2021.
Exactly. We're taking
that
a little break
weird.
Here.
2021, oof. It doesn't oof. Roll off the tongue.
Yeah, yeah. We're in the 20s now, though. So at least people can have like they never settled on a name for the decades prior to this next one.
Yeah.
Was it the aughts?
The aughts?
No one liked the aughts. That was foisted upon us.
It was foisted.
They should have called it the first 10s.
We were foisted by the aughts.
Yeah. And then what? The 10s?
No, the
teens?
The ooze.
The ooze? I don't like any of it, you know? So that's why I just never talk about the past. It's time to move on, is what I say.
Yeah, well, let's move on right now. My name is Liz.
My name is Brace the Grinch Belden. We are joined by producer Young Chomsky, and the podcast is called TruAnon.
And thank you guys all for listening this year. It's been a real, I don't know what, a real something.
It's
real gas.
Went through. It's almost done.
It's been a real wild ride. But we will see you next time. Bye-bye. Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein.